Every great gift giver needs two things: a well-manicured calendar to remember birthdays and anniversaries, and a one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. That's why I use Celebrations Passport from the 1-800-Flowers family of brands. Celebrations Passport gives me free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts, and the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. Learn more at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Miley Cyrus and John Cena.
Fuck yeah. I would want that. But I don't think it's happening. Do you love the movies? Did you love the search for the perfect rental on a Friday night? Have you enjoyed the new version of this, searching through your countless streaming services for the perfect movie? Well, I know we do. Welcome to Mike and Anthony's Soda Pop Culture Club. Me, Mike, along with my co-host, Antoine.
Orange juice.
Straight, baby. Bring our take on a classic movie every Monday from the 80s, 90s, and beyond, during which we will play the game and open up the six-pack of our favorite scenes. We also want to point out a couple of generic scenes as well. And at the end of the show, we'll rate the movie 1 to 24 cans. One can is having someone break into your house and masturbate on your bed. And they look like that guy in this movie. And 24 cans is breaking, you being the stalker, breaking into this house and Rachel Maron on the bed for you. So that's it, right? Is that 24 cans?
I think both of those are somewhere in the 5 to 7 range.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know.
Okay.
If Rachel Maron's on the bed, had that bed been masturbated on already and we didn't know yet?
And then I'm saying you're the masturbator.
When they found out somebody broke in and did that, how'd they find out? Was it still wet or was it dry? Did they use
a flashlight
investigation kit? How did that go down? Why did they burn that fucking bed too? Like, what in the hell? We'll get into it. There's a lot to talk about here today.
But before we get to all that, we want to let you know that we want to do movies suggested by you, our listeners, because that's who we do all this for. And there's a couple ways you can do that. One is if you join our Patreon, you recommend it on there. We do it. We'll put it on the schedule. We'll make sure we get to it eventually. And there's also the Fast Pass if you want it done. The next thing we do, you just Venmo us or PayPal us $25 to @SodaPopCultureClub. Tell us what movie you want us to do. We do it. The next thing we do. That's pretty much it. And we do have a third way. If you go to our website, SodaPopCultureClub.com, where we have merch and schedules and all that, they'll also have a thing where you can suggest movies. And it's just a free suggestion, but those aren't ones that we get to right away unless we really like it and we want to do it anyways. So, kind of thing we do, because we're kind of selfish that way. We like
just pay money and you get it done.
we really like to do what we want to do unless we get paid not to do it. That's probably pretty much it. And don't forget, you want to check out our Instagram @MikeAndAnthony, where we post Anthony's cool, like, he's been painting his fingernails with those little designs on them.
Yeah.
And I think you guys would really like to see some of those. He had some Halloween, like, cats and witches on his fingernails.
Yeah, I got some Powerpuff Girls going on right now. Check these bad boys out.
Would you do that? Would you get your nails done and have them painted?
Yeah, why?
Okay, just wondering.
I used to paint my fucking nails.
So, yeah. I let my daughter do it all the time.
I used to paint my toes. And you know what? I'm mad that I stopped. Because I'll tell you what, having your toes painted is fucking fun.
Okay, people. There you go. We will post it if he does it this, because I will go visit him and maybe we can get him to do it.
I'm going to tell you something right now, okay? And this is just straight up honesty. If you're in a bad mood, you can't be in a bad mood when you look down at your painted toes.
And they're rainbow colors.
It instantly would cheer you up.
You're right.
I don't care what color. But I mean, how can you not? I'm just saying, fingers, whatever, but having your toes painted, nothing wrong with
that. I get it. It's like your little secret to yourself. You don't share it with everyone. It makes you feel happy.
Kidding me? Well, I'm wearing open-toed sandals.
This time of year, you're not wearing open-toed sandals. Anyways,
finally. Now I am. It's fucking 70 degrees today.
Just to remind you, actually, we do post memes based on the movies we do. Also, We need you to go to Apple Podcasts. We do. We need you to go there and hit us up for a 5-star, any star review, and a comment, because that helps us grow the show on that platform. And don't forget to share the show with your friends, all that stuff.
Share it. Share it. Spread it like herpes. You know, if you want me to get into the, you've been talking about, joking about the foot fetish photos, I'll do it. I'll paint my toes. I'll post some of that shit on there.
Okay, people, you heard it here first. I want you to let us know if that's what you're into. Okay.
I'll give you a picture of my feet. You just, you do the Photoshop and put Soda Pop Culture Club on all my toes. How about that?
I think I'm going to hire Frank Farmer.
I think Frank Farmer is out of the game at this point, because that's 30 years ago.
You're right about that. Are you ready for the trailer, man?
Ready.
Frank Farmer to see Miss Marin.
What?
Alexander Graham Bell to see Miss Marin.
All right.
Bill said he used to be with the Secret Service.
I was 2 years with Carter, 4 with Reagan.
Reagan got shot.
Not on my ship.
All my colors for you.
All right.
You don't look like a bodyguard.
This is my disguise.
Well, his timing's good.
Henry, I've spent a lot of time guarding people all over the world, and I found one thing to be true. No matter how incompetent the assassins, no matter how much they miss their target, there's one person who always gets hit.
Who?
The cocky black chauffeur.
You afraid I might get picked off my snazzy running suit?
No, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to jog with you.
I won't hold it back again. Someone was in my house? Wait a minute, someone was in my house?
Everybody's afraid of something. That's how we know we care about things. When we're afraid we'll lose it.
How about you, Frank Farmer, out there on the edge?
Rachel, I don't want to get confused about what I'm doing here.
I'm not confused.
You pay me to protect you. That's what I do.
Then what is it?
I'm afraid of not being there.
Yes, that's the trailer.
That is the trailer to the Dirty Sheep movie.
The funny thing is, and we're about to get to the game, we'll get to that. But funny thing is about the trailer is that it's almost, if you took out the dialogue, it would just be a music video.
Yeah.
It would just be the music video. It's only 2 minutes long, so they cut some of the song down. But if they added another minute to it and just cut out all the dialogue, it'd be a music video.
Well, actually what they did with the music videos that were released was the movie. So
yeah, pretty much. And why wouldn't you? All right, are you ready, man? Are you ready for your most favorite part of this thing? Are you ready?
Oh, God,
for it?
Yes, I'm like, all right, now we're ready to jerk off on the bed. Ready.
Whoa, hey, but we're not gonna do that, but we're gonna play the game, and everybody knows what the game is.
Yes.
The game is
how long can Anthony last on top of the bed by himself
with dirty sheets. And I'm going to read Anthony 3 reviews. 2 of them are real. I was going to say fake again. 2 of them are real. 1 of them is fake. And he just has to guess which one is the fake review. And you two could play along, because I'm pretty sure I don't fake you out. You all know all these, I'm sure, because they're so easy. Anthony's just an idiot sometimes.
For all I know, half the time you could just be giving me 3 fake reviews or 3 real ones.
That's true.
You know, just
that
so
is true. I could be giving you a bunch of fake reviews.
You could be.
Are you ready for this?
Yep. Cover up your camera so I can't see what you're doing with your other hand.
Because if you see my face, you kind of can tell sometimes.
I don't look at your face.
Whatever.
Do you know my lips. How conscious I am about avoiding looking at you?
Whatever.
God, it's bad enough I have to fucking listen to you.
Why do we have cameras at all?
If I could do this show with earplugs, I'd be a lot fucking happier.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
All right. Tom Bradford, Sacramento Bee. Whitney will sell plenty of records because this is an expertly made music video starring Kevin Costner. Chris Hicks, Desert News. I was completely unprepared for just how bad The Bodyguard is. Rob Vo, Flipside Movies. Why can't the real Oscars be like this?
All right, let's see. Read them one more time.
Tom Bradford, Sacramento Bee. Whitney will sell plenty of records because this is an expertly made music video starring Kevin Costner. Chris Hicks, Desert News. I was completely unprepared for just how bad The Bodyguard is. Rob Vo, Flipside Movies. Why can't the real Oscars be like this? My gosh, people, I can see the steam rising out of his head and smoke oozing out of his pores. He's thinking much harder than he normally does.
I'm gonna go with the third one.
All right. And is there a reason why?
Just sounds made up.
Okay. And if I told you that was wrong, what was your second choice?
Initially it was the first one.
You should have went with your gut, my friend, because the first one is fake. However, while it is fake, it is my words. It is sentiments that I had read from other reviewers, though, by the way. So
and that's the thing. Like, initially I wanted to go with that, but I thought, you know, that's kind of my opinion of the movie, too. It's like, that's what it was. It's a lot of fucking records because you got the soundtrack right.
I forget who Tom Bradford is. He's in something. I think it's Eight is Enough. Eight is Enough.
No.
The show Eight is Enough.
Old school. Buddy Lembeck.
I went back. Yes. Sorry. I had to do that to you. I had to totally screw with you and do all that right. to you, man.
Well, hey, guess what? Had I been re-offered my choice of door number one or two, that's what we'll just do. Like, you give me the chance, we're gonna eliminate one wrong one. Now, do you want to change your answer?
Yeah, I do that. I just eliminate your wrong answer. Exactly. I make it that much easier.
So I was like a third right today, I guess, which is pretty much. On
in baseball, that's a good average, 333.
I'm on par with every life decision I ever make anyway, so I'm a third right usually.
Go ahead with the numbers, man. Go ahead.
All right. Let's get this going here. So here's our breakdown by the numbers, directed by Mick Jackson and starring Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston, and several other people. Bill Cobbs, Michelle Lamar Richards, Ralph White, Gary Kemp, Tomas Arena. It's Tomas. So I'm sorry if
I'd say Tomas.
Tomas. Potato. Christopher Burt, Mike Starr, and Devon Nixon as Little Fletcher. The Bodyguard was released on November 25th, 1992, taking in $411 million at the box office against a $25 million budget. It scored 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb and 37% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Yeah. For such a big blockbuster, that is a very low Rotten Tomatoes. Well,
not really.
I know.
It's a star-driven and soundtrack-driven blockbuster.
I didn't put this fact down, but I'll just say it, and you know it too. This is the biggest selling soundtrack of all time. It sold like 33 million copies or something like that. Yep. It's rightfully ridiculous. So.
It's a great fucking soundtrack.
I don't think it's the best soundtrack ever. It just
Grease is the best soundtrack ever to you. I get it.
Well, it's better, but the thing is like it was at the right time. When you think about like the time of when things could come out, when you still sold records and you had a hype train and all that, 1992 was probably perfect. It's 10 years before digital music and ripping MP3s has really becomes any popular, you know. So yes. You still are selling shit and really, the hype of one musician could be
big. I believe it's at a time where Bobby Brown was just barely in the picture. I feel like this was not long after they started, after they got together.
Actually, I forget. There are other facts I have that now you're going to make me say them that I didn't put down. But actually, she was pregnant.
Is that okay?
During the shooting of this, and she had a miscarriage during the shooting of this. So there was that. And yes, Bobby Brown, shortly after, they were more of an item. Because she ended up having her daughter who, didn't she take her life?
There's a thing like, no, she drowned in the bathtub.
Yeah. She.
It's all the mystery about.
No. Whitney drowned in the bathtub because
so did her daughter.
And so did, okay.
But there's a whole thing about, was she killed? What, like, you know.
So yeah, I didn't go into that. I just know that it's sad.
Yeah, I believe that's what
happened. All of it's sad.
It is very
Bobby Brown still walking around. Okay.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. Walking around every little step.
Every little step he takes. Anyways, but I do want to say this about Whitney Houston. Before we get into talking about the movie, I do have a fact here. The Bodyguard made her debut as an actress, of course, and she was self-conscious about her abilities. A few weeks before shooting began, she asked the director, Mick Jackson, if she should take lessons. His reply was no, that's the last thing you should do. He wanted her performance to be natural. She evidently did as she was told and did not learn how to act in this
movie. So she was just naturally very bitchy?
I guess I don't know what is up.
My answer would have been, yes, take some fucking acting lessons.
We'll get to that in a moment. I want to talk about a couple things that this movie, the way it starts, it's so America, right? Starts with a bang, man. Like, boom, a gunshot, you know? Like, first thing. It starts with knife throwing. I mean, I felt like I was watching American Ninja. Like, the movie, I don't know if you know what that is. But
yes, I do.
American.
Yes.
But that's what that. But I do like one of my favorite things, because really it's kind of boring up until here, is when he goes to the house. So I'm going to give my first six pack, unless you have one before this.
Go ahead. Which, go ahead.
Okay. My six pack is him giving a different name to every person he meets as he goes into her house and getting in there pretty close to her.
Yeah.
I like that's one of my six packs. I think that's one of the, because sometimes I think they wanted to find humor in this movie, and I think this was one of the spots.
Yeah. I got an odd six pack.
Okay, go with it, bro.
His
go
car.
Odd.
His car.
What, the Camino or whatever it is? I don't think it's a Ranchero or a Camino. I couldn't tell.
It's, what was it? That fucking,
well, there's two different styles of that. I didn't see the make. Yeah.
But I love that car.
Yeah.
Like, here we go. This is like, I want to say it's almost like Roadhouse. I'm like, you're making, you know, no taxes, $5,000 a week. Dalton's, you know, $500 a week. But it's like, is that your, he just seems to live a very simple life. He's got his boombox out in the backyard. He's got his, you know, sensible car. Do you have your Mercedes hidden under a sheet in the garage?
Oh.
You know, I'm just like.
Dalton, you know, Dalton, maybe I'm thinking he took a little too less. Although he took money from the bar too, though.
Do you feel like Frank Farmer and Dalton are related in the cinematic universe? Is
they
Roadhouse
should be
and the Bodyguard connected?
They should be. If they're not, that's a
like one took this path with their skills, one took this path with their skills. I'm going to work for the fucking government.
Yeah, or whoever.
I'm going to work for the Double Deuce.
They both work in the private sector, but I think the clientele, the wealth of them can be different. Because I think Farmer would be more apt to work for Brad Wesley. Because he pays more, probably. That's just what I'm saying. That would be the showdown. We never got that movie. We should have got that movie.
I think Farmer has too many scruples to work for Brad Wesley. Because he can turn down jobs if he wants.
Yeah, he would, but he's not famous, and he has money, but he might, after he meets them, go, no, I'm out, you know, that's, because he would do that, based on what we saw here, because that's one of the things, when I'm watching this, I don't know, like, when he got there, I don't know if I would want to protect her either, because when he was there, it just seemed like too much BS all around, and she had this entitled, superstar, spoiled act, and that's, and like you said, when they were talking about not learning to act, was this a stretch for her to act this way? You know, be this. That's what I want to. I don't know. Is this a thing that she already did?
You throw in. Hold on, though. I will say, let's not discount this pregnancy and miscarriage. So,
yeah,
she's
but
got some things to draw on, I guess, as
anger.
Well. Yeah. So, I just wonder how much of that played into it. Who knows?
But it just seems to me. Like, she has all these people around her. They're all enablers. They all shelter her from the truth.
Right.
You know, it's like,
I mean, I'm firing my whole fucking crew if they didn't tell me about Wackadoodle jerking his
whacking
doodle
off
in your head.
Yes.
And all these threatening fucking letters that I've been getting. That's like, I don't pay you to keep that shit from me. I pay you to let me know if I'm going to fucking walk out to get the mail and die.
But that's the thing. I think what the problem was that everything around her was an appeaser. Like they did, like Tony, for example, I do what makes her happy. Well, you don't want to always make the person you love the most happy. Sometimes you got to do what's right, even if it makes them angry.
Tough love.
And I think that's the problem, that everyone around her was too afraid probably of losing their ride, that they didn't say anything. I'm glad I'm never in a position where that would happen to me. I think everyone would want to hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Mike, you're fucked.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see someone masturbated in your bed.
No, Mike, you're fine. You're safe outside. Go ahead.
Go on out there. Go play out in the snow with the guy. her attitude from the beginning, though, I think set the tone for this whole movie. And I think that's because I got to talk about it like the whole movie, right? Because I want to say one of my generics right away.
The video movie you're talking about?
Yeah, the music video. Yes, the music video. One of my generics right away, and I got to say it right away, is the elephant in the room when you watch this movie is that there is absolutely zero chemistry between Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston. Zero. My wife watched it with me again last night, and she was like, I can't believe there was nothing there.
I don't want to say there's zero chemistry, because I actually think we're going into negative numbers with this.
Oh yeah,
there's actually less than zero chemistry here.
Yes,
I agree completely. Seriously,
it's like not good.
I think if you and I,
you and I,
have bodyguard, we'd have more chemistry.
Yes, we'd have more chemistry, but. That's the thing. So he's like, take care of her, and he's watching her. And one of the scenes that sticks to me, and it's not a six pack or anything, but when he's sitting there and he leans in and he's watching her music video, Run to You, you know? And, and then later on, you know, he does end up sleeping with her. And it makes me wonder, when he saw that video and he knows who the real person is, he's really interested in that video. When he sleeps with her, is he thinking of the dream video?
Yeah.
Or is he thinking of the reality?
I don't know because I mean, honestly, that's just a really weird fucking scene.
Yeah.
Like, oh, if I just pretend she's the fantasy in the video, spoiled shithead, then okay, I'm DTF.
That's the only way I think he can do that. And I get
either that or how much did he drink that night on that date? How many pitchers of beer did he have?
That's maybe a good question.
It was just that. His judgment was really impaired.
He made bad choices.
Drunk, ready to fuck.
But why did he go on a date with her? Because she's so mean all the time. I don't get it.
In the whole asking him out on the date thing,
that was weird.
And it's weird because there's no fucking chemistry.
When you watching it again, and I was talking to my wife, obviously, about it. I said, I think really, if you watch it and you think of it having no chemistry, it then becomes, she's really manipulative. You know what I mean? I think she's just trying to manipulate him and soften him up at his job so she can get away with what she wants at that point. At that point, you look at her like the spoiled child trying to get something out of somebody who's holding some authority over her life.
I don't know if it's that or if it's like he wants nothing to do with me personally, so I'm going to go get that.
Oh, well, that's another thing I have in here. I said, did he neg her so much that she wanted him so bad?
The old six big assholes kind of thing.
Yeah, he nagged her the whole time, and she's so hard working for his approval. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, that's pretty much what it feels like. So either he did the right thing in order to get into her pants because that's all he really was after, didn't really care about the attitude, or you know, no, whatever.
I will say it's just between the chemistry and just the whole combination of everything. Nothing fucking makes sense.
Yes.
Yes. There's no actual explanation for any of this. There's no underlying theme. Nothing fucking makes sense.
I would agree.
That's
it
all.
It doesn't at that point make sense. But you know, we'll get away from the chemistry for now. I want to talk about the show at the Mayan. Is that what it was called? Where the things go weird. Like she has people on stage and shit goes weird. One of the things that I really liked about that particular scene was you really learned really quick what his only concern was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he saves her, and him and the chauffeur had already made a plan that none of the other people knew to get her out of there and leave. And he left Cy and Tony and everyone else.
Everyone else with their dick in their hands.
With their dick in their hands. But he only cared about one person and the chauffeur.
That's his fucking job.
And I thought that was great at how he made everyone knew at that point what his job was. And that was it. That was kind of a good thing. Good part of the movie. Not a six pack, but definitely interesting. I like that. I wish I had someone who protected me that way.
Anthony. I bet you do.
But will you be my bodyguard?
You don't. I will not be your bodyguard. I will not be your body buddy. None of that shit.
You're nagging me so hard, I want you.
I know. Shit I deal
you're
with.
Just doing it. But what happens after that? Is this one of your six pack? Do you have a six pack yet? You haven't even told me any.
Hmm? So you're about to give a six pack, which is also one of mine.
Okay, so this is one of our six, but we're going to share
this.
Mine. After that, they're back in the kitchen. Frank's sitting there reflecting, eating his fruit, and him and Tony getting a fight. That's my six pack. The fight in the kitchen and him, I don't want to talk about this again. Only one, you know, line pretty much.
Done.
Like,
I love that seeing Frank be Frank.
Yeah.
And doing his fucking farmer shit right
just
there.
This doing is how what he does.
Badass I am. I will fucking kill you if I wanted to. And then the fucking knife right by his head.
He didn't show off until he had to.
Exactly.
What it comes down to.
But when he did, Tiger got out of the cage.
It was a good, that was a good scene. You know, when we're talking about the no chemistry and stuff, when you think about it, when you take out the fact that the humor doesn't land really well in this movie and there's no real romantic chemistry, it really comes down to this movie's a thriller and action. So this is one of the better action sets.
It is. Absolutely. It's the best one. I got to say too, I got another fucking, another Roadhouse connection though. At the beginning of the movie, when Whitney's like, you don't look like much of a bodyguard.
Oh, yes.
That's like, I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah, well, they stole that. I mean, because this came out after Roadhouse.
I know. It's like, this is Roadhouse.
Well, okay, so I was thinking about
this. Whitney is the double deuce.
We know Whitney's acting and chops in this was not great. And I wouldn't say Kevin Costner's was ridiculously great either.
I almost feel like Kevin Costner had to act down.
That's what I'm saying. So it made his performance less, right? So if you were recasting it from 1992, who would you want in those roles? I have an idea of who I'd want.
I'd still want Costner.
That's not who I would pick.
That's the bodyguard. Like, I loved him in it. He was great.
Mm-hmm. I would pick Denzel.
Okay.
And Madonna.
I was about to say Madonna, possibly.
Because that would be, because Denzel, the way he acts, he would be his type of, like, speech pattern, and she would be her thing, and I could see that being a clash, but still having chemistry.
See, you know? Here's my other thing, though, but then you're replacing Whitney with Madonna. Are you getting much better of an acting performance?
Well, she's actually acted and has done
She has, but not well.
That wasn't bad. I mean, better than this.
I mean, Desperately Seeking Susan, she peaked.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, Whitney peaked with the soundtrack. Didn't even get to peak in the acting department.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying.
I just like, well, and here's the thing. Like, if you're recasting this, like, I mean, do you have to go with an actual performer, like a musician?
Yes, because there's some things you don't know
about. Or are you better
about
off with a good actress that can play the part of a musician?
Well, the script was actually written in 1975 for Steve McQueen and Diana Ross to act. Mm-hmm. So kind of has to be a big star to be in there. So you can't just, you know, and Madonna would be a big star.
Let me ask you this then. This movie being made today, who do you cast in those roles?
Well, that's tough because today there's no great movie stars anymore.
Oh, I'll give it to you right now. I've got your cast.
Okay. Well, are you talking Ariana Grande?
No.
The Rock and Lady Gaga. But you do two movies too similar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we could do that. Taylor Swift. I'd want to see that chemistry.
Oh my God, I want to see that sex scene. He'd break her in half. And then he'd be like, look what you made me do.
Actually, you know what? Your crush would be the guy who should be in there.
Ryan Reynolds, Rob Thomas. Who are we talking about here?
Ryan Reynolds. And probably would be Taylor Swift would be a
Ryan
good one.
Reynolds is more Hitman bodyguard than Whitney Houston bodyguard.
Ryan Reynolds and Lizzo.
Hold on. I got one.
Come on.
I got half of it. Give me a second.
Okay.
I gotta think of who. I think. Okay. How about this? Lady Gaga, Keanu Reeves.
Oh well, that's good. That'd be good. See, Keanu Reeves and pretty much anyone would be good. So,
because Keanu Reeves can pull that role off.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner's character. He can do Frank Farmer.
Yes.
We know he's got the action skills.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just saying, I think you're right. I think that is a good one right now. If we were doing it right now, because I think in a few years he might get age out of it. But who would he have protected before, you know, because in there they use this is a dumb thing, the Reagan thing. I never understood I wasn't there because I was at my mother's funeral. Like, and you're still mad that you weren't there to take a bullet for Reagan. That shit heel.
That's his job.
Yeah. But I mean, I'd be like, I'm glad I wasn't there to have to take a bullet for Reagan, you know, someone else do it. And that was but the thing is, they had to make that up because if the real Reagan shooting was in 1980.
Guess what? Maybe he thinks if he had been there, nobody gets shot. He wouldn't even have to take a bullet because he would have had shit on lockdown the right way.
I guess.
His spidey sense kicks in. When he got
have the thing. Maybe Reagan would have that little cross in his hand. Click, 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 click.
There you go.
Now, you know
a weird fact?
What? Go ahead.
Reagan was a huge fan of blueberry Jelly Bellies.
Yeah, Jelly Bellies was a thing with him, and that's why they became really famous.
Mm-hmm.
I personally didn't care.
Jelly Bellies are good. They're good.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, if you get the pop butter popcorn ones are good.
There's a lot of better ones than that. I'll tell you right now, you get me on a fucking celebrity's bed that I just broke into, bowl full of Jelly Bellies, I'm coming all over the fucking walls. I will not stop. I'll be dropping loads all over this room.
But that room, you know that room, though. You know why it was created, right?
Superstars and their boudoirs.
Yeah, superstars and boudoirs. That's so it was just the dumbest ass shit. Like, they created this. Like,
and seriously, that room is so fucking ugly. And, like, that's the dumbest fucking setup for a celebrity bedroom ever.
If it was something that's why I don't understand how he got hard with that bullshit all around.
I know.
Like, oh man.
Are you jerking off to the cutouts of paparazzi and shit or what? See, I'd be like, if that was me and they're doing a article, I'm like, you give me Tommy Lee's bedroom. I want the fucking sex swing in there. Neon lights everywhere.
Her room was very bare bones. Did you see
on the nightstand? What?
Did you see her room was very bare bones, I believe. Yeah. Like her normal room, so wasn't much to that. No sex swing. So.
Well, there wasn't much to it. She didn't have enough money to decorate her room because she has to save up to fix the fucking intercom that's broken at the gate.
Now, I have a generic that I forgot to say, but it's not even generic. I don't have it down as a generic, but it's like an honorable mention. And I hate it because it's when they're talking about football and she asks him what position you play. And he just says fucking end.
Yeah.
That bothers me. There's not, because there's no just an end. It's a defensive end. It's a tight end. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
A split end.
No. Actually, back then when he played football, remember this is when he played that 80s, was earlier, you know,
70s,
right? So you would have called it end.
But here's why my pissiness is founded, because then later on when they're talking to the dad, he says, you were one hell of a wide receiver.
Right.
So fuck him.
End. He was a tight end.
He was, I don't know, was he?
He played
tight end,
wide receiver. Yeah.
I don't, two different positions.
No, he was he's what the hybrid became. He's your Shannon Sharp.
Oh, Frank Farmer is like the prototype. Oh, he's Ozzie Newsome before Ozzie Newsome. I got
right.
It. Okay. Well, fuck him. I just thought that one of those things when they were talking about
the football.
No, it bugs
me too. I actually agree that.
Every time. And another thing that bugs me is at the Miami party, when the music is on and it shows her singing, you can see it's out of sync.
Yeah.
It bothers me. I don't know. It just, there's little things like that bother me.
All about the details.
No matter how good the song is.
Hey, that's where your continuity person on set needs to fucking check that stuff. I told you I have the biggest problem with that when they cut back to scenes and something's different, like you're drinking out of a glass and all of a sudden it's three quarters full when you only have like backwashing at the last fucking scene left in it.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts.
Now, she gets, one of the things about this movie that's great is she gets so scared that she's like, okay, I'll do whatever you ask.
And then
and
back
go, and what was that?
Then goes back on it. She fucking waffles the whole time.
Oh, yeah. But this time we're on again right now. we're on again.
Yes.
We're on again. So she goes to the cozy little shack in the woods. How did you like the cozy little shack? I liked it. That was a beautiful place. I mean, I would love it.
Oh, you would fucking die in 10 hours there.
As long as I had, I know 92 didn't have internet.
No fucking cable, you're dead.
If it has internet, I'm good.
You would crawl into a log and die.
Now that place would have internet. You know that, right? Like, it would, there's no way.
Depends on where you're at. Nope, because he would want to keep her safe. So he would go somewhere where you don't have GPS tracking. You can't fucking find anybody. There's no signal because there's no signal you're giving off either.
That's why that's one of the things I wondered about in this movie is then how did Nikki let the bad guy know where they were? Like, if she, because he's obviously monitoring everything.
Right.
How did she get a message to that guy and say, hey, this is where we're at?
Unless Frank told them where they were, he was taking them. I don't know.
Yeah, before they left. That's the only thing you could assume, right? Like, you'd have to assume that. But I want to say this about Nikki.
Unless he followed them.
What?
Maybe he followed them.
Yeah, followed them.
I don't
know. We know who it is. It's Portman, right?
Right.
So
and
he's a professional.
He's a professional, yeah.
So, yeah. But I think Frank should have done Nikki. I think he should have gone for the set. his sister.
Oh, no, she not.
Yeah, but he would have had the set.
Doesn't do it for me.
It's like, well, I don't care. I mean, you don't have any chemistry with the other one. Who cares?
You just want the set.
I actually feel they had more chemistry than with that, when she was the only part that didn't, when she kissed him, is when they didn't have, but when they were at, like, the first time they met and he like had the dog in front of the door and they were having that little conversation, they had a little bit more playful banter with more chemistry than him and Rachel. So I'm just saying
that wasn't fucking chemistry.
Well, if that's my point, there's so little on the other one that perceive as chemistry in this movie is
when I sit down to dinner, I've got a cup and a plate that have more fucking chemistry than Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston in this movie.
That's my thing. So him and Nikki had just that much more.
My cup and my plate are more likely to fuck than Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston in this movie.
Yeah. Now, that being said, did you
remake this movie with a cup and plate?
You know, this movie has been remade in other cultures. Like it's a Bollywood movie and there's like so many other movies. Like, they've redone it in other places in different languages. So,
oh, really? So they should start doing midnight bodyguard showings everywhere.
Well, it's Rocky Horror.
Dress up.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Rocky Horror Picture Show is a enigma. It never, when you think about it, should never happen. But it did.
It needed to.
I know.
Life would not be as good without it.
Yeah, for many people. It's where people who felt different could go and be different and cosplay. So there you go. Now, but in this movie, were you a little bit satisfied when the sister died? Just a little?
Well, after finding out what she did.
Yeah. And then were you impressed?
But also, no, sorry, she hired him. So why is he killing her, though?
He doesn't know who hired him. He just got money and a target.
But she's not the target.
Shit backfired. But were you impressed by Frank's trick, getting down on one knee and shooting at sound?
It was.
I was not. I'll be honest.
No, hold on. Hold on. That is impressive. Because you know why?
Why?
That's your Dalton Zen moment.
Oh, he can't pull a throat, but he can shoot at sounds.
He's doing all of his kata.
Yeah.
In the morning. That's how you learn to be at one. That's how you learn to shoot at the first sound.
Now we're at the end of this movie. This is where it really gets some questions.
Hold on. Kevin Costner in the woods there doing that.
Yeah.
All right. That's your Vince Vaughn dodgeball moment.
Oh.
With the blindfold.
Yeah. Yeah. There but you go. Vince Vaughn played it really well.
Costner was not the problem in this movie.
Now, do you think, now this is what I wonder, because how this movie goes and how it ends and some of the things that happen, do you think Rachel ever learned that it was her sister that hired the killer? Because I didn't get that impression at all.
No, not at all. I don't.
They still sheltered her.
I got to get my generic too.
Go ahead with it.
Because it was during this time.
Yeah.
The Jesus Loves Me song.
Jesus loves me.
My generic. Don't give me fucking religious songs in a movie. I don't want them. I don't need them. Keep them the fuck out.
Okay.
But then that also is a very interesting moment too, because then you have Rachel coming and singing along with her, basically just showing off that, hey, I sing fucking better than you. I'm more famous. I got more money. I am a better version of you. And that pisses her off.
Oh, I get it. You know, funny thing, when that happened, I was like, Rachel comes out and, you know, for the Bible tells me so. Does all the runs and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I said, that's funny because I do that to people. Like, they'll be singing a song and then I'll start singing it better. And I know I'm fucking being a dick.
Oh, you're always being a fucking dick. That's just a new, different version.
Another
you have
way.
Being one.
Yeah. I was like, man, I know how that's going right there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like an asshole watching it.
But you still do it.
Yes. Now, you're right. And so we were on again, off again. This is the thing that we're talking. This is what this movie's about. Bitch, no bitch, right? Yep. So she just lost her sister and knows that there's a real threat out there and still says, fuck you to Frank and takes no caution. Like,
yep. I mean, if you don't get it by now, you're never going to get it.
No. And I want to point out Frank has a flaw. And the flaw is he should have known that Robert Wool would never need any personal bodyguard that's a professional at any moment. That guy is not in danger ever. Robert Wool is not that famous.
No. He does have a bunch of bodyguards around him.
I don't think those are bodyguards as much as those are people helping with the performance of the night.
I don't know if that's that or... See, I don't know what, like, the Oscars, do they have, like, on-set bodyguards?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She did say, remember, we'll have one of our guys, and she said, no, I want my guy. Remember, before she walked out on stage, she insisted on Frank, but they were going to have one of their guys. So they have guys.
Exactly. So, but no, I agree.
But he should have known Portman wasn't supposed to be there once he said, I'm there to guard Robert Wall.
He just looked around and was like, him, first one he sees. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I'm alive today.
Oh, fuck. I forget.
That's a good question. What is his name again?
So I'm saying, man.
Frank let his guard down there. Yep. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. But that whole thing with her, she's just being a real, up until literally, up until he takes a bullet for her, she was a bitch up until that moment about it. And then finally he takes a bullet, and now all of a sudden it's appreciation comes out, you know, like, woo, I love this guy. Yeah, right, because he just took the bullet he said he would take, you know?
Like, that's, yeah, that's the only way he was going to get through to her. I need a bullet in my thorax just for you to understand I knew what I was doing the whole time.
Yeah. Need a bullet. Need a bullet.
So I got a question, too, about Portman.
Yeah.
First of all, when they're in the room where, again, she's being a cock tease just to make fun.
Oh, in Miami. Okay, yeah, I forgot about this. The what I would like to call attempted rape.
Why can't you just shank her right there and be done? You had your chance to fucking do your job right there.
My only thing with that was that people saw him go in there with her. So if he snaps her neck.
Okay, so here's my thing with that, though. He's at the Oscars with the gun attached to the camera.
Yeah.
This is the Oscars, which means up to and after that moment, you're going to have about 8,000 different cameras and angles on everything in there. You don't think it's going to get traced back to you at that point? True. Even if you do somehow kill her and walk out of there, what do you think is going to happen? You don't think they're going to have a way to fucking find that out?
True. True. Yeah.
That's a plot hole. Sorry.
Yeah. He could have just snapped her neck and ran out the window, right. I guess.
Something.
Then we don't need the rest of the movie.
Inject her with something other than your dick.
Yeah, true. I want to give my final six pack here. And, you know, it's because it ends on a good music video. And the song is great. I Will Always Love You. That ending with that song is a great ending. I just wish the passion that was in the song matched the passion that was in the song was matched on screen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest negative of it, but the actual, you know, doing that. But there's a fact on that, because I want to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but Houston was originally going to record a cover of Jimmy Ruffin's What Becomes of the Broken Hearted. You know that song?
I do.
Okay. As the soundtrack's lead single, but that was scrapped when the filmmakers learned that the same song was being featured in Fried Green Tomatoes, which I've never watched. Have you ever watched
it? Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't have a vagina, so I'm just guessing.
Yeah, luckily I do, and I love that.
Yes, and for both of us. According to Dolly Parton, it was Costner, who was also acting as the producer, who loved her song, I Will Always Love You, and asked if Houston could record it for the film. He was passionate, later saying, I didn't care if it was ever on the radio. I didn't care. I said, we're also going to do this a cappella at the beginning. I need it to be a cappella because it shows a measure of how much she digs this guy that she sings without music.
Even though it didn't, because the movie didn't back that up.
Yeah. And here's a fact I call this 2B, or fact B about the same song, pardon me. In 1974, Elvis Presley wanted to cover the song, but because his manager, Colonel Tom Parker, which if you watch the recent movie, you learn a little bit about, demanded that she grant Elvis half the publishing rights, and Parton refused. She was heartbroken about having to turn down the king. She said he would have killed it, but she mused years later. Then when Whitney came out, I made enough money to buy Graceland. So
that's awesome.
Great.
So real quick, I didn't get my other six packs.
Oh, well, that's because you're a dumbass. And you know,
eat shit, dick lips. So Frank's car again, just cause
okay. That's a six pack.
Awesome. I also just Kevin Costner as Frank. I love him in that role.
He's good in that role.
He could have been better had the people around him been better.
Had it been a better
love interest,
yes.
Movie. And then my other six pack is like an easy, obvious one, though, the soundtrack.
Obvious, yeah.
Because that was
the movie.
Better than the movie, obviously.
Do you think it did 400 million more because of the soundtrack than anything?
Yes.
Because, I mean, yeah, I had
doubt, yes.
Yeah, because if it was anyone else, maybe Gloria Estefan could have been in that role back then. That would have been Celine Dion.
I can't see.
I don't know
any,
if she could act. She seems very.
I can't see any less chemistry with anybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm trying to think. who else could I put in where it would be worse chemistry? And I really,
I don't know, man.
Like, seriously, I think you could put John Candy in that role and there would be more chemistry.
True. Now, this movie at the end, it's kind of dopey to me that he's sitting there. He's at the Rotary Club.
It's
protecting a reverend.
After all this, it's like, so they don't end up together.
And he's obviously getting paid a lot less to guard a dumbass reverend. Like, what's the point?
Well, like, maybe at this point he's like, I'm just working at this point. I'm going to phone it in because I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, these people suck.
Protecting people like that.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm going to go. I have a couple facts I do want to hit before we get through here. Because I figured since this is its 30th anniversary, I wanted to throw facts in. I haven't been doing that lately, but I think this movie has some good ones, in my opinion. So Costner, in his capacity as producer, was protective of Houston and had promised to make her look good. His contract also stipulated that he could have the film re-edited if he didn't like the director's cut. Well, the director's cut apparently didn't do Houston any favors, and test screening audiences rejected it. The director himself was quoted in a Houston biography as saying there was no chemistry between Houston and Costner. They looked like a couple of pals passing the time of day instead of the torrid lovers they were supposed to be. Another round of editing eliminated some of Houston's longer speeches and emphasized close-ups on her face.
Yeah, just show her face.
That's, I think, you know, that was Costner's idea, so... But here is a fact that you probably could find out there, but I didn't realize, and maybe a lot of people don't.
I didn't either.
And so I like this one. In late 1997, Costner said at the time of Princess Diana's death, just a few months earlier, he'd been negotiating with her to star opposite him in a Bodyguard sequel. The New York Post reported that the role would have been loosely based on her life, quoting Costner as saying, she said, look, my life is maybe going to become my own at some point. Go ahead and do this script, and when it's ready, I'll be in a really good spot. Costner got a second draft of the script 3 days before Diana's tragic death. So
now, here's what's crazy about this. Can you imagine that had that movie been made?
It had made more money than the first
before one. She died?
Oh.
How fucking haunting would that be?
That would have been the first $1 billion movie, though.
Yeah.
It would have been. There's no way it wouldn't have made $2 billion probably. And who knows how the music would go, because it wouldn't be her singing
like,
it.
I mean, this would have been kind of like Heath Ledger's Joker kind of thing.
Yeah, possibly. You know,
something like that happening.
But I think because of her status already around the world, someone like that, it would make that elevate that to a level that you've never seen. Like we've never seen a movie have that type of phenomenon. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so to me, that would have been that it's sad that we didn't get to have her to make that movie, because that would have been interesting.
Yeah,
that would have been a good sequel, and it probably would have had chemistry. Is my guess.
It couldn't have had less.
Yes, it's true. So true, so true. And everybody loves royalty. So if you have a royal angle, you know, there's always a interplay there that makes people happy. And I think that could have been, I'm surprised they still couldn't make the movie kind of, and they probably, you know, to be honest, that movie, a Bodyguard movie, has been made by your guy, the Hitman's Bodyguard, you know,
many Bodyguard movies have been made.
Yeah. But so, nothing as like that one specifically, where the star is also the singer. And so, I mean, I guess it could be redone, but with royalty, I don't know. We'd have to see. Let's see. I don't think it's going to happen. So I think we're to your favorite part of this whole thing. You wait an hour to do one thing.
I sure do. Memorabilia. What do you want from this movie?
Do you want me to tell you what I want?
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I want the samurai sword. Because I want to do like her and wave it around haplessly and see if I accidentally cut anything off, like a finger or something.
Yeah.
Maybe a toe, maybe drop it on my foot, because you saw how sharp that thing was.
You know what? You don't want it for that. You would be standing there in a room with it for hours, just throwing scarves up in the air.
Yeah, or loaves of bread and seeing if I could slice bread with it.
Slice bread.
That's what I would do with it.
You get a bunch of fruit and play the ninja chop game.
Fruit ninja, yeah.
Fruit ninja, yes.
Yes. That's my game.
It's twice. Is it dice? Is it Julianne's?
What's your memorabilia?
So funny enough, I'm also going with a weapon.
Oh.
I want the throwing knives from the
beginning. Yeah.
Those would be cool to be out in the backyard with a post in the ground, just chucking shit.
I thought for sure, because my backup was her metal outfit from the Mayan performance.
No, just the piece of cloth that was in the just locker.
That the dude had in his locker.
That would probably be my locker. Second.
That whole locker would be cool, honestly.
The Whitney Houston stalker locker?
Yeah, in your house. Could you imagine if you had that as a memorabilia?
Oh, God.
Like, what's that? You know what? That's the Whitney Houston stalker locker.
I like that. I might have to change my answer. No, I go with the throwing knives, but that's probably second then.
That is a good one. I thought the metal suit would be cool because, like, we always talk about Saving Silverman, how, you know, you have the thing, you walk in, you have a glass case with some weird-ass outfit.
Right.
You know,
and you push the button, it starts spinning and playing I Will Always Love You.
Yeah, or I got the stuff that you want, I've got the stuff that you need.
They just go on loop with clips from all the songs.
It just plays Queen of the Night every time you push.
I need some Run to You in there, too.
Well, that's a different outfit. You need that silky white number that she has in the video.
Yeah. Because I want that to throw in the air over the samurai sword, too.
Yeah, so it's a set. All right, are you ready to rate this thing up?
Yep, let's go. So let me start by saying I loved this movie, mainly because I had such a huge crush on Whitney Houston.
Okay, I was going to say, we went this whole thing without talking about his other crush.
This was like my crush back then, Whitney Houston. Good God Almighty. So, like, this came out, I bought it, watched it over and fucking over again. It's probably one of my most watched movies ever. Love, love, loved this movie. You know, this is funny too. So, like, I remember when you would get movies, like, at the library.
Yeah.
They would have the plastic video cassette cases.
Yeah.
Hard plastic ones. And then they'd have the actual sleeve that the movie would come in, like, taped around it.
Yeah.
I did that with this movie. I cut the case open. I taped it around.
You didn't see the digital future coming, did you?
I didn't at all. But I was like, yeah. So anyway, like, I watched this movie so many times and I loved it. Now, a lot of my movies on here, I rate very highly because of that. Because I'm like, I love it. I don't give a fuck. This one is not going to get that treatment. Because there's too fucking much wrong with this movie to do that. I'm giving this the Roadhouse, which is actually funny because I didn't think about this when I was rating this, but I give it the Roadhouse. And I told you there's connections to Roadhouse to me in this movie, like, a lot. I give this the Roadhouse treatment. There's nowhere to go with this but dead fucking center. Because you could love it for so many reasons. You can not like it for so many reasons. I've given it a 12.
Wow.
I'm dead center with it because I loved it. I love Kevin Costner. I love Whitney Houston.
See,
love the soundtrack, but the movie's crap.
You just made me think, like, the only thing, okay. I'm going to go into this and then I might change my score. We'll see. The soundtrack to this movie, I just want to say, is what shines here. If I were grading that, it would be near perfect. The score that I'd be giving would be like, it's amazing, you know. Somebody in their prime doing the best thing they ever did. Never did anything as good after.
You could say you'd give it a 24 if all you ever saw was the commercials to the movie.
Yeah, 24.
There you go.
You're right. This is a Michael Bay trailer. Perfect. Michael Bay made this trailer, it feels like. But I'm not grading it on just that, of course. The movie has flaws, like we've talked about, the zero chemistry these two have. But the thing is, I think the plot is good. And because of that, like the idea of what it is so good that with better talent, this is a home run. Like, better talent, it's already made $400 million, but with better talent, it could have been better.
I think the plot's good, but the execution and all of the details to the plot fall down.
Yeah,
I don't think it's just the talent. I think it's a lot of the things that they, it's like point A to point A to Z. This is what the movie is going to be about. He's her bodyguard. He saves her at the end.
I think the thing that we're missing is the first cut. Because probably when they went through and cut a lot of speeches and some things that maybe help the story, but also hurt the movie in quality, probably is where we're at with that. So that's why I said I think there's a home run in here. Even though it made a shitload of money as a film, I wouldn't say, oh my gosh.
The hype, yeah. Everybody wanted to see it, but then.
Yeah, well, it has flaws, but it's watchable. What do you know what I gave Roadhouse originally?
We both gave it a 12, I think.
Okay, I can't. I was going to give this a little higher, but I can't in good consciousness give it higher than Roadhouse. Because here's what I'm going to say. Roadhouse, better acted.
Yeah.
So, the reason this is going to be a 12 is because the soundtrack. That is it. Even though Roadhouse isn't bad, I like Roadhouse's soundtrack. So. But I'm going to make them the same. I'm with you. Once you said that, it made sense. I can't, in good conscience, give this a better score because the quality of performance. I was going to, because of the soundtrack, make it a little higher, like a 14. But I'm a 12 all day long.
All right.
That's my heart.
I'm going to throw one other thing in, too, that we didn't mention.
We forget things sometimes.
Well, no, it's just I was thinking about it, and it occurred to me. So her sister hires the hitman and everything to have her killed because she hates her.
Yeah.
But then she's going into her thing and bawling about it, but not Fletcher because, you know, the boat was rigged.
Oh, what'd you think?
No. But what I'm saying is I would never hurt the bear, not Fletcher. And all the shit. It's like, okay, so you love him so much, but you're willing to have his fucking mother killed.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like we said, there's flaws. There's flaws in this movie. Like, not the baby. So my wife was mad. She's calling him the baby because he's a kid. It's like, it's not a baby.
But I hate her. So all this is because her sister, who's getting a fucking free ride, hates her because she became the famous one.
Yeah.
So she has everything.
Money don't change. Money just makes you more of who you are. She was a killer, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Where does that put this? Obviously, it's 12.
It's 12. It puts it at 12.
But what is that? What is average? What is average?
12. Bodyguard is 12. It's average.
But other movies around it.
Let's see. We got some other Child's Play, 11 and a half.
Nice.
Every Which Way But Loose, 12.
Should have been higher. Yeah. Better movie. And a good soundtrack.
I don't know about that. Like Father, Like Son, 12 and a half.
Well, it's funny. See, there's the problem with this movie. It's not a comedy. Mm-mm. It's a suspense. But gives you that's why we can think something like that's better because it is good at its comedy. Hold on. What I mean?
I got one here. It's a 12.
What?
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. To me, that one is really good at comedy, but then sometimes it's really bad because I just don't think it's funny. Like it's a really hit or miss.
I think The Bodyguard definitely. I think it could have benefited from having some funny moments in it for sure.
As a romantic movie, it's not a good movie.
Mm-mm.
That's what I'm saying. If it was played up the suspense side a little more, had a different actress, probably a really good movie with that. You know?
Look Who's Talking, 12 and a half.
I enjoy that movie more.
Yeah. But Look Who's Talking.
John Travolta's singing in that movie is not quite as good as Whitney's.
Almost, though. Almost. So yeah, that's kind of
a town without pity.
Explorers 12.25.
Half of that movie is better than this.
Yeah,
for sure. So when you think about it, that's about right. Half of that movie is way better than this.
And as we talked about, Roadhouse 12 across the board, as it should be with this movie.
I can't put this movie above Roadhouse. I just couldn't do it. Just because I can't. Roadhouse is better acted. Better acted. The only thing this has that those other that movie doesn't have is a kick-ass soundtrack. And great music videos. And I know that's not the movie, but sometimes that matters. Because that's why I did $400 million, because the novelty of Whitney Houston being in the movie and the soundtrack being so good.
And this movie also, like, unlike Roadhouse, did not have a topless Kevin Costner, which could have benefited it. I don't know.
Well, he's a hairier man, though.
I mean, but you didn't get to see him get up out of bed after they boinked.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we didn't get to see bare-ass Kevin Costner, and he's done it before, so why didn't he do it here?
Exactly.
So, Didn't he do it in Bull Durham? Didn't you see his bare ass in Bull Durham or something like that?
Forget. When he was drinking the High Life in the shower or?
I think after he got up out of the bed with some lady, but doesn't matter. I don't know, Susan Sarandon or whatever. I don't know who he was sleeping with in that movie.
Susan Sarandon at the end.
Yeah.
After she nuked Nuke, then.
Yeah. After she was with meat.
Exactly.
Fuck him.
After she.
Her husband.
After her 793rd conquest, Kevin Costner gets her at the end.
Which is funny because what's his name is actually her husband. So there you go. Are we ready?
To end? Yes.
Yeah, to end the show. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. We would like to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to join our Patreon so you can basically suggest some movies and get other fun stuff. Remember, you can go to sodapopcultureclub.com for all things related to the show, including your chance to make movie suggestions and our episode schedules there as well. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and we have a Twitch channel. And that's about it because Anthony's no longer giving hints on what's next. I don't even know what's next.
I will give you guys one hint. We may release the next episode on the right fucking day. So tune in next week. It hopefully won't be a day early or a day late as the last couple have been.
I'll tell you what. The Halloween one, it actually was kind of, if it drops on Halloween, that's kind of weird. It was kind of nice for it to be a day early. So.
Whatever.
It's all good. It's all good. But this, the next one will be on time. So
hopefully.
It will.
Hopefully.
Okay. Are you done, man?
That's it.